What's up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and I am back with another episode of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. Man, today's going to be a great episode. We have a lot to talk about. Montez Sweat is on his way to Chicago. He's now a Chicago Bear. Bears just traded a second round pick for him. We have to talk about James Harden as well. James Harden is now a member of the Los Angeles Clippers. He got traded to Los Angeles last night. And we're going to talk about the whole entire, you know, kind of situation over there with the Clippers as far as Russell Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And we're going to talk about the Bears as well, their entire situation. Jalen Johnson requested a trade from the team last night. We're going to talk about that. We're going to touch on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence is looking like the best quarterback in football, and the Jags have won five straight. And we're going to talk about the 49ers' downfall as well. They've lost three in a row. And we're going to talk about what's going wrong with that defense and with that offense, and do they need to move on from Brock Purdy. And we're going to touch on Patrick Mahomes. He hasn't been playing well this season. He lost against the Denver Broncos on Sunday, and he just doesn't look like himself. And we're going to touch on some NBA action as well. You know, the Lakers, Bucks, we're going to talk about those teams, and, you know, I'll give you my thoughts on those teams. But let's get right into it. Let's start off with James Harden going to the Clippers. Now, as a guy that knows basketball, I don't really understand this move, right? Because you have a guy like Russell Westbrook who played well for you in the playoffs and towards the end of the season, the end of the regular season, played well. And when you didn't have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to rely on, Russell Westbrook stepped up with his competitive nature and toughness and just grit and just will to win, stepped up and made plays, you know, and kept the Clippers in that series against Phoenix for a while. And a guy like that, when you have a guy like that on your roster, he only can help you guys win. He brings a different type of toughness to that team, a different type of identity to that team. And bringing in a guy like James Harden, I don't know where he fits. Right, because Russell Westbrook has to have the ball in his hands, and he's at his best when he's downhill attacking, right? When he's head hunting, you know, and going downhill and trying to finish at the rim. And James Harden is the type of guy that he has to have the ball in his hands. He wants to kind of control the pace of the game, get guys in the right spots. But Westbrook is not a spot up shooter. He can't play that role alongside James Harden. So I don't know how Ty Lue is gonna kind of get these guys to play well together. And it's a possibility. Russell Westbrook still could start, right? It could be Russ, James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Zubac at the five. That's a possible lineup. But I think Ty Lue is going to bring Westbrook off the bench and insert James to that starting lineup and keep Terrence Mann starting. But like I said, I just don't really understand this move, because you had a guy like Russell Westbrook who played very, very well for you. And James Harden, we can look at James next season. I understand the Clippers, I think they were looking at it from an insurance policy perspective, because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have so many health questions. Their reliability is always in question. And a guy like Russ coming in, he kind of stabilized that, and then now James Harden stabilizes that even more, because you don't have any – if Kawhi is out and Paul George is out, you still have James and Russ, and you don't really have any questions as to if you can win a game or not, because you can win a game with those two on the floor, with guys, with your role players, you know, playing well and doing what they need to do. You can win a game like that. But still, man, I just don't – James is not really the type of guy that you want to bring in to say, hey, we're just going to bring this, we're going to have this guy, and we're going to rely on him to give us maybe 35 any given night or 40 any given night. I don't think James Harden is that type of guy, especially when you just had Russell Westbrook playing his heart out for you guys in the playoffs. I just don't understand this move. And I don't think it kind of moves the needle for him either, because compared to a team like Denver, I'm still giving Denver the benefit of the doubt. They're just coming off an NBA championship. I'm still saying, hey, who can beat Denver, right? They're the top dogs in the Western Conference. They're the top dogs, period. And they play so well together that it's going to be tough to stop them. Even if you don't, even if they don't have as much talent, their role players know what they're supposed to do. Their two stars know what they're supposed to do. And Jokic is the best player in the world, right? So, like I said, it doesn't really move the needle, and especially with a team like Phoenix as well. Phoenix has a lot of talent, and they have bench players as well. So the Clippers being compared to the Phoenix Suns, I just don't know how, you know, they fare against a team like that. And, you know, as far as contending in the Eastern Conference against teams like Milwaukee and Boston, if everyone's healthy for the Clippers, it just seems as if they're going to be too small, because someone has to play the four. And there's going to be a lineup out there that is going to be too small for the four position. Kawhi Leonard, he doesn't really play big. Paul George doesn't play big at all. Zubac is the only guy who can get rebounds and who can have a rebounding presence and a paint presence. And Russell Westbrook as well with his downhill attacking. But Russ doesn't play in the paint that much to where he can kind of change the entire series, right? So I don't know. The Clippers, it's a questionable decision. And I just don't. Ty Lue has to figure out how to get those guys on the same page. I'm sure he can, because he's a great coach, one of the best in the league. But he has to find out a way to make that entire situation work with those four players. And James, this is his fourth team since 2021. He's forced himself out of every situation that he's been in. With that being a thought in your mind, I don't understand why you bring a guy in like that. Obviously, his personality is great. He's a cool dude, especially in that locker room. He's going to get along with everyone because that's just the type of guy he is. But I don't know, man. That's just a questionable decision, in my opinion. And we're going to move on to the NFL with another questionable decision from the Chicago Bears. And I'm speaking from a fan's perspective now. I don't understand it. I honestly don't. Because trading for Montez Sweat, give up a second-round pick. I understand it from the Commander's perspective because they have a lot of questions to answer, right? They were thinking about trading Chase Young. They just gave up Montez Sweat to the Bears. Montez Sweat is in his last year of his contract. You might as well get something for him right now than letting him walk in free agency, right? So I understand that from the Commander's perspective, but from the Bears' side of it, this organization has too many questions for you to sign a guy like that. If the defense was set, front line was great, linebackers are great, safeties and corners are great, and we're just needing that one piece, I get this signing. But we have so many holes on this team that need to be filled that I don't know what this signing does for us besides give us immediate relief. Because Montez Sweat, he's first in sacks this season, 27 total pressures. He's at first among in the league. He's tied first for most QB hits in the league with four. And he wins his pass rushing win rate is 10.6. And that's first in the league. So a guy like that obviously brings immediate relief to your edge rushers and to your defensive line. But organization-wise, I don't know what this signing does. Justin Fields, you guys don't believe in Justin Fields, which blows my freaking mind. You don't really believe in him. You think Tyson Bagent is better than this guy, which is unbelievable as well. And those are rumors, by the way. I'm not sure it's true, but it sounds like it's true just because of the way they're acting towards Justin Fields and the way this whole season has gone so far. You bring in a guy like DJ Moore, who's best player on the team currently. Jalen Johnson requested a trade from you guys. He's second best player on the team currently, top 10 corner in the league. And you have $100 million in projected cap space next season. Why don't you just pay Jalen Johnson, right? But that's just the Chicago Bears. That's how they operate. And everyone's used to it now, but it's nonsense. And like I said, bringing in Sweat, Jalen Johnson wants to leave. You have a lot of talent. Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, Jack Sanborn, a young guy that's a good, solid player, is going to be a great player soon. You bring in Yannick Ngakoue. You know, you have guys on this team that are great individual talents. But because the organization is just so, I can't even find it's a dumpster fire, right? That we have so many questions. It's just so uncertain with this organization that it's hard to actually get the best out of players and for players to play to their full potential. Because this season, Tremaine Edmonds, one of the best middle linebackers in this league coming into this season, he hasn't looked like that this season. Right, he hasn't looked like that so far in Buffalo. Oh, it was a no-brainer, right? He was, you know, top five in the league. Now he looks like top 10, maybe top 12 in the league. And you know, moving forward, right? There are coaching questions. You still don't have a defensive coordinator. Matt Eberflus is calling the defensive plays. I just don't know where this organization goes from here. And like I said, it's embarrassing because a guy like Jalen Johnson deserves to get paid. He's 24 years old. Like I said, top 10 in the league at corner. I don't know why you don't pay the guy. You're just going to let him walk. The Chicago Bears are synonymous with wasting talent. And you're wasting talent with Jalen Johnson because you're most likely going to let him walk. You're wasting Tremaine Edmonds' talent, TJ Edwards. You're wasting Yannick Ngakoue. You're going to waste Montez Sweat. You're wasting Justin Fields. You're wasting DJ Moore. Right, you have all of these guys, and still nothing's clicking. Nothing is clicking. This organization is just confused. No one's on the same page. It's terrible. And being a Bears fan, it just angers me so much. But what do you do, right? You just talk about it and just keep it moving. The Bears. Once this organization figures out what they want to do as far as, you know, who they want to pick up, who they want to be, who they want their organization built around, then that's when questions will be answered. And that's when it'll turn around. But moving on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence has been playing great. They won five games in a row, six touchdowns, two interceptions over his last five games, and the Jags, Travis Etienne is playing great. Calvin Ridley, he's been a great addition for them. He's back to being one of the top receivers in this league. And they're just playing with a lot of confidence right now. Because last season, coming back from 28-0 with Trevor Lawrence throwing four interceptions in the first half against the Los Angeles Chargers in the first round of the playoffs, that game kind of instilled a lot of confidence in them. And coming into the season, they wanted to capitalize on that. They wanted to build on that. And they did. Right. So I believe they're 6-2 right now. And they're playing great football. They're arguably the best football team in the league. And Trevor Lawrence is arguably the best quarterback in the league at this point. And with the Jags playing in the AFC, you're going to see teams like Kansas City. You're going to see teams like Miami. You're going to see teams like Buffalo that are going to kind of be in your way on your path to the playoffs and the path to the Super Bowl. So if they can beat those teams or even compete with those teams, you can kind of gauge where they're going to be, right? They lost against Kansas City earlier this season, but it was a great game. It came down to the wire. They play the 49ers this week. The 49ers have lost three in a row. However, their defense is still real, okay? They're offensively having a lot of questions as far as Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel being out, things like that. So if they win against the 49ers, that's a big win for them, and that'll be six in a row. So the Jags are playing great. Hopefully they continue this into the playoffs. I want to see Trevor Lawrence become that guy in this league. I want to see him become a Joe Burrow, become a Patrick Mahomes, become a Josh Allen. I want to see that from him. And the Jags overall, Travis Etienne is a great weapon for him, and their defense is solid. So I think they're going to make some noise come playoff time. Now, moving to the 49ers, Brock Purdy. I don't know if you move on from this guy. He's in concussion protocol right now. He hasn't been playing well the last three games that they lost. Defensively, they're still solid, one of the best units in this league. But offensively, it's just too many questions. George Kittle hasn't been receiving the ball lately. Deebo Samuel being out. Christian McCaffrey still been playing solid, but haven't been able to put it all together offensively. O-line is kind of a little shaky at this point of the season. They started off great, but they've been having some lapses, you know, as of late. And Fred Warner's the best middle linebacker in the league. You know, my pick for defensive player of the year. And you know, with the 49ers, they're still, I don't know if they are the team to, I don't know if they're the best team, the best contender to compete with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, Dallas has been playing great as of late, but there's still questions with Dak Prescott and his reliability come playoff time. And the 49ers, man, I mean, it's Brock Purdy. It all comes down to him. It all comes down to what their offensive unit can do, because they know what they're going to get from their defense, right? But it all comes down to what their offensive unit can do, how they can kind of manipulate the game, Kyle Shanahan, manipulate the game and kind of just, you know, make an impact early. That's the key to wins, especially against good teams. Make an impact early, make your presence felt early, and you just capitalize on it from there, right? So I'm sure they'll be okay. I'm sure they're going to be fine, but they played the Jags this week. Jags have won 5 in a row. I don't know. That's going to be a tough ask, especially if Sam Darnold is starting and Brock Purdy's still in concussion protocol. So I don't know if they're going to win that game. They might drop 4 in a row. But hey, I mean, like I said, they're going to be fine, right? A good team like that, once they get rolling, come playoff time around, you know, week 12 and on, and once they get rolling, it's going to be a no-brainer that they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFC and arguably one of the best teams in the league, if not the best, at come playoff time around that time in week 12 and on. But let's talk about some NBA action really quick. Man, LeBron and the Lakers, they barely won last night against the Orlando Magic. And what I took from that game, I think every team is going to give the Lakers their best, right? Because the Orlando Magic, they were hitting shot after shot after shot, driving to the lane, hitting layups, you know, making great passes, moving the ball. Everyone was getting buckets, right? But the Lakers, they just found a way to win. With LeBron, I think he had 19. AD had 26 and 19. When they're playing, that's the formula. I talked about it on Twitter the other day. That's the formula right there. Anthony Davis needs to average 28 to 30 points a game and 12 to 13 rebounds a game. And Bron, you can average maybe around 22, 23 points a game, maybe even 21. D'Angelo Russell, he can average maybe 23, 24 points a game. That's what they need. And if those two guys, D'Angelo and AD, if those two guys are playing the way they're capable of playing and firing on all cylinders, sky's the limit for the Lakers, right? Because you don't want to burn out LeBron too early. If you do, it's going to be very, very tough come playoff time, especially with his long season. And at his age, he can't really carry a team anymore. He can't. He can have spurts where he looks like his younger self, but you can tell that he's feeling it more now as far as his body, as far as the wear and tear, as far as the fatigue. He feels it way more than he used to. And that's just his age and the year that he's in, his 21st season, right? So the Lakers, if Rui steps up as well, Austin Reeves, all those guys need to play cohesive basketball. Christian Wood has been playing great, giving them great minutes off the bench. Torian Prince needs to have that defensive presence out there and stop the opposing team's best player. And yeah, man, the Lakers just need more guys to step up to take some pressure off Bron, because he can't do it at this point of the season. And Anthony Davis needs to be the best player on the floor by far, every game, no matter who they play, right? So, and not to mention, Anthony Davis, he's 30 years old, and you have one championship. You have one championship. I'm sure you want more. I'm sure you know what it takes to get more, because you've been there already. So, and you're on the team with LeBron James. He's going to let you know what it takes. He's going to let you know what spots to be in, what you need to do, right? So I just believe that if Anthony Davis is playing well and all those guys are filling in around him and Bron just does what Bron does, Lakers can easily win a championship this season, beating teams like the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns and Los Angeles Clippers as well. But yeah, let's move to the Eastern Conference right now to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. Last night, Giannis had 33 against Miami. And I think they tried to send a message with this win against Miami last night. Giannis was aggressive from the jump. Damian Lillard had a solid game. And, you know, they're trying to ease Chris Middleton back into what he's used to doing, right? Playing those minutes, getting spot up shots, taking guys off the dribble. They're trying to ease him back into it. They don't want to just take all of his shots away because Dame is there. But you kind of have to ease him back into it, just make sure he's comfortable, make sure he's doing what he needs to do as far as getting healthy. And once he gets back and once he's at full, you know, at full strength, I think the Milwaukee Bucks can easily just run through the East. And it's going to be very, very tough to stop them just because if they have a balanced attack. They have guys who can do everything. They have defenders. They have scorers. They have spot-up shooters. They have stars. They have a lot. And, you know, with them contending against different teams as far as the Bucks, I mean, excuse me, as far as the Celtics, as far as the Miami Heat, as far as the Toronto Raptors, as far as the Philadelphia 76ers, as far as competing against those teams, I think they're going to play better than those teams. They're just going to find a way to win games because they're so cohesive. But I have to see more of Dame and Giannis playing together. I have to see more of that because this has been a small sample size so far. I just have to see how they play off each other. I have to see what areas does Dame take over the game. I want to see when he takes over the game as well. I want to see how Giannis defers to him at times. I need to see all of that, right? But the Philadelphia 76ers, they got better with this trade. They definitely did get better. They got Nicholas Batum, Robert Covington. They got guys like that, Marcus Morris Sr. They got guys in return that are 30-plus years old, and they've had great careers. But with Joel Embiid, a guy like that, he needs guys that can basically say, you know what, I'm going to help him. I'm going to play off of him, right? And I think the Philadelphia 76ers organization, they saw that Tyrese Maxey was playing great basketball. He's had, I think, 3 or 2 30-point games so far this season. He's been playing great basketball. He's a bucket. He's a young guy. He plays very, very hard, and he just wants to win. That's all he wants to do. He just wants to go out and work and win. And I think they saw that, and I think they said, you know what, we don't even need James Harden. We'll just fill in guys, right? We'll fill in role players. We'll fill in spot-up shooters. We'll fill in guys and that can help Joel Embiid and hopefully get us over the hump. But I don't think it will. I honestly don't, just because of what the Eastern Conference looks like. You have, like I said, Giannis and Dame. You have Boston with JT and JB. You have guys like that that can – Boston put you out of the playoffs the last, what, 2-3 years? So comparing the teams like that, I don't know. You know, I don't know how they fare. But overall, for the NBA, I mean, Miami, Tyler Hero, he had a great game last night. And I think he needs to kind of insert himself in that role a little more alongside Jimmy Butler. He needs to average close to 25 points a game or more because that's what they need, right? I've said this before. I've said Bam needs to average maybe 25, 26, 27 a game to get Miami over that hump. I think he needs to take on more of an offensive role. Bam focuses on defense, in my opinion, a little too much. I think he can guard 1-5. He's one of the best defenders in the league, if not the best defender in the league. But I think he needs to kind of focus on that offensive role more just to give Jimmy some help. Jimmy kind of – everyone looks to him to get a bucket, right? And Tyler Hero, I think he wants to be that guy for everyone to look at him to get a bucket, and he did it last night against Milwaukee because he scored 35. But, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Miami to get back to where they were because they don't have enough, right? They don't have enough pieces. But, I mean, as far as the Western Conference, like I said, Denver, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt over anybody. You know, I'll kind of take Denver and say, you know what, this is the modern type of winning. This is the modern day winning, right? This is what every team needs to win basketball games. And, oh, this is breaking news. The Cardinals just sent Josh Dobbs to the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings lost Kirk Cousins to a torn Achilles. on Sunday, and now Josh Dobbs goes to Minnesota. And Josh Dobbs is a solid quarterback, solid game manager. He doesn't really do too much, doesn't really turn the ball over. He does what he needs to do. He's a solid guy, right? Great personality. So that's a good pickup for them, just to get them some hope as far as winning games. And, you know, it's kind of Justin Jefferson in that situation is tough because he's the best wide receiver in the league, and you just are kind of not wasting his talent because he's still putting up numbers, but at the same time, he's not in a winning situation. They're not going to win in Minnesota. So that's a tough situation for him as well. But, yeah, that's a solid move. And now, you know, in the NBA, this James Harden thing is, this James Harden thing is interesting to say the least. And the league reacting to it is kind of like, he's a good player, but how does he fit with the Clippers, right? I think they did this move just because of just filling seats as well. You know, they're going to always be the little brother to the Lakers, but they want to bring some excitement to the Clippers. But basketball wise, like I said, as a real basketball fan, I just don't know how James Harden fits with a guy like Russell Westbrook in that whole situation. And lastly, just last quick point, I want to talk about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys and if they're actually the best, you know, the top contender to beat the Philadelphia 76, to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know. I trust, and this might be a hot take, I trust Geno Smith more than Dak Prescott, and here's why. Dak Prescott hasn't proven himself in the playoffs. Every time the bright lights come on, he kind of shuns himself out and throws interceptions and makes costly mistakes. That defense is real, don't get me wrong. Trevon Diggs being out hurts them, but that defense is still a great defense. And if there's some talks, they might get Jalen Johnson from the Bears. So if they get him, then that's just great, right? That defense is still real. But Geno Smith hasn't proven himself in the playoffs either. I just trust Geno Smith and Pete Carroll more than Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy. Right, because Mike McCarthy, he's a little shaky at times when it comes to play calling. He tries to find a rhythm. He can't really find rhythms within games. I notice he's not really good at making adjustments. I trust Pete Carroll more as a head coach and as a guy that's coached Russell Wilson and coached great players. I trust him more than I trust Mike McCarthy, and I trust Geno Smith more in the playoffs than I trust Dak Prescott. And I love Dak. I love Dak. He's a great guy, great quarterback, but he just has a lot of questions within his game, and that's the only issue with me as far as Dak. But with that being said, this is the end of the show, guys. I appreciate you guys listening. Hope to see you guys next week on the Hey Honcho Sports Podcast. Listening to me, I appreciate all you guys out there. These episodes go live every Tuesday, guys. So I'm here every week, and I'm going to link my Instagram and Twitter in the description below as usual. And I'm Jalen Short, a.k.a. Head Honcho, and I'll see you guys next week.